For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
We're here in Cambridge at Tyndale House to speak to two guys who spend their lives studying the accuracy of the Bible to find out.
What is the resurrection about? You know, did it really happen? What really happened to Jesus? And what will happen to the Christian who has joined Jesus, you know, in the end?
Crucifixion was a public event. It was always done somewhere which would be seen. And in the case of the Gospels, we see it set by a road. That's why it talks about people passing by. The Romans were good at executing people. Their soldiers were professionals. They'd done it many times. And so the thought that they could crucify someone and somehow this person might survive, I think it is just ridiculous. It went on for a long time. They would check that they were dead at the end.
This is what Christians believe. Christ died for our sins, but he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures.
Well, what we can see clearly when we look at the accounts of the resurrection in the four Gospels is that they haven't been created by some collusion. They're independent accounts. So you expect them to be independent and different. That's not a problem. In fact, if there had been collusion, we would expect people to try to get rid of any differences between them and to make sure they fit very neatly together, which they don't.
Who was at the cross? The women. Who went to see where they laid Jesus in the garden, in the tomb? The women. Who were there on that Easter Sunday morning? The women. That they have the continuity. The women provide the continuity and they provide the witness. They see the empty tomb. And Mary Magdalene does see, meets the risen Jesus. So this is a very unusual in the ancient world that something so important would be witnessed only by women. Initially, of course, the disciples meet Jesus, the risen Jesus again later, and there. Witness is absolutely fundamental, but initially it's the women, and that's absolutely abnormal. It would never be invented like this. So it's very important and countercultural and not at all the sort of thing you would add in if you were kind of inventing stories about resurrections.
In the Gospels, I think we're dealing with a bodily resurrection, something that's tangible, something that leaves the tomb empty. So that body has actually come out of the tomb. So it's that way. And also in the epistles, it's so striking that this is bodily because Christians start building a doctrine on this. They start saying, because Christ has been raised physically, that means Christians also will be raised physically. Right from the very beginning, Christianity spread fast. How did it spread? Because it had a message. The message isn't just that someone died. It isn't even just that someone died and rose again. It's actually that someone died and rose again and brings new life because their death is on behalf of others.
So that's Easter. And now is a great time of year to be speaking to a Christian friend, going along to a church service, or even doing a course, something like Christianity Explored. Because the Bible's Easter story is making massive claims, but if the evidence points to those claims being true, then it definitely bears us investigating it further.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you know what time it is? It's time to make a deal on Valley Bible's very own Let's Make a Spiritual Deal. Now, please join me in welcoming your host, VBF's very own, Pastor Ron Vietti.
Hey, good morning. It's afternoon. Gosh, you people love me better than the first two services. Wow, that's pretty crazy. Welcome to Let's Make a Spiritual Deal, where your deals last a lifetime and beyond. And so let's get started right now. Shane, give us our first contestant.
Our first contestant hails from a quaint little town outside of Columbus, Ohio. She enjoys long walks on the beach, dinner by candlelight, and has read the entire Harry Potter book series twice. Mary Studenhauser, come on down and let's make a big deal.
Come on down, Mary. Give her a hand. Hey, Mary, you're pretty excited. Whoa. Settle down, Mary. Settle down now. Well, on this game show, you know, we ask you to bring something that's very valuable to you, and we try to make you a trade. And it looks like Mary today has brought my commitment to church attendance. And you brought that, and you know what, Mary? We're going to offer you a deal on that, and I'm going to have Shane tell you what we will offer you. Go ahead, Shane.
Mary, if you choose to make a deal, you'll win a fabulous weekend vacation for your entire family. You and your family will enjoy a relaxing getaway every weekend for the rest of your life. No more soccer games, pampered chef parties, and church for you, girl. You get to relax anywhere, anytime, on any weekend. And that's not all, Mary. You'll be traveling in style in your brand new RV. This 2017 vintage motorhome is built for luxury and comfort for the whole family. Say goodbye to that cramped old minivan and say hello to your brand new home. Home away from home.
Wow, Mary, I'll tell you what, this can be yours. But this travel club's only on weekends. So you know what? If you take this deal, your commitment to church is gone. Because you're going to be traveling places where there's no internet, there is absolutely no Wi-Fi, nothing. But you know what? You'll be traveling in style. And so, Mary, I'm going to ask you today, will you give me your commitment to church attendance and be gone every weekend of the year at wonderful places in your beautiful motorhome? What will you do? Come on, gang. What do you think? What do you think, Mary?
I think you'd say no, but I really want that motorhome.
You want that? She really wants the motorhome. What do you think? Mary, what are you going to do? You going to trade me or not?
I really want that motorhome.
You want a home?
Yes.
You're going to give it to me?
Home.
She's going to give it to me. Whoa. This happens every year, gang. Every year. People call me up and they'll go, man, I'm going through something. Can you help me? And they're crying. And I'll say, we just did a series on that in church. You weren't here. Look on Easter. Look what happened. It says in our text, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Where do you go looking for God at? He shows up every Sunday here. It blows me away. Why is this one of the biggest churches, if not the biggest one in Bakersfield? Because he's showing up here every Sunday. Every Sunday he shows up. It blows me away. Why? We have chosen people that hear God's voice. And on our new teaching team the next year, we just added Vicki Lohman to our teaching team, and I'm real excited about it. Listen to me closely. It says in Ephesians 4 that the Lord, before he ascended, he descended and got his family together. And then he gave gifts to men so his family on earth would not be without. He anointed people as apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He says, what I'll do is I will flow through them to equip the saints. And the word equip is the same word as mending nets. We come in here cut up, butchered, hurt, injured by the world. And every time God shows up, did you sense God's presence in the worship today? Was he in the house? Was he in the house? Look at this other verse. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, overflowing. That word abundantly, we played with that in the Greek. That is a crazy word. Now listen to me. Nothing wrong with having a motorhome. I hope I have one day. And it's good to use, but when you go in your motorhome, at least you watch online. You don't want to miss a service. I don't know how many times I've went to church, and I just know the pastor's been talking to my wife because he knows everything. That's God. Don't ever stop coming to church. See, we all have a tendency of getting off track. We all have a tendency of losing focus. And every week we come to church, the pastor speaks to it or whoever's speaking. In Proverbs 1, It says that wisdom speaks out in the square. Wisdom cries out in the church every week. But it says the naive and the simple, they don't want to hear it. And so that chapter goes on to say that when trouble comes to their house and they call out to God and say, help me, it says he will laugh at their calamity. And in the Hebrew, that means he'll sigh. He'll go, phew. He'll go, had you all been listening the last year? I've been telling you how to keep this from happening. When calamity hits, and it'll hit at any time. As Christians, we're not immune to calamity. But if we were listening, God would have us prepared for it. He'd be with us. So you can't stop coming to church. Shane, give us our next contestant.
Our next contestant weighs in at a whopping 175. His favorite movies consist of The Notebook, Free Willy, and the entire Twilight Saga. All the way from Maricopa, California, Tom Peterson, come on down and let's make a big deal.
Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Yeah, Tom's pretty excited. These contestants, I don't know where we got them. Maricopa, how was the drive in this morning?
It was good, man. A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. That's a long drive from Maricopa. That's a big city out there. Well, I'll tell you what, we've asked you to bring something precious, and boy, did you bring something precious to trade. Tom brought his family, his wife, his kids. Oh, that's a good-looking family, Tom. Wow, wow, wow. Do you love them a lot?
They're my life. They're everything to me.
Those kids sometimes, though, man, they can be a nuisance, can't they? Yeah, okay, all right. And that wife, sometimes, you know, she gives a cold show. But I'm going to have Shane show you what we're willing to trade you for that family and that commitment. Take a look.
Tom, if you choose to make a deal, then say hello to your brand new one-of-a-kind girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
That's right, Tom. Say
yeah,
goodbye to that old
Tom.
Ball
don't
and chain
anywhere.
You call a family
hold
and
on.
Say hello to living in freedom.
Uh-huh.
This new girlfriend comes with all the upgrades. Uh-huh. With a new age way of thinking, this new model will not only take care of all those pesky dishes without you asking, you'll never have to do laundry ever again. No refunds, take backs, is restricted.
Oh, Tom. You know what? I'm telling you. You can have this romantic fling maybe for a year, two, or three. We don't know. You have a new girlfriend. Life will get exciting again, and no, their wife doesn't need you all the time. And your kids, they have cell phones. They're busy. Tom, will you trade me your commitment to your family for what I just offered you? Come on, folks. Help him out. Help him out. Will you make the trade? Come on. And that's a beautiful-looking woman. You got a new life. I mean, it's there.
I'm sticking with my family, man. My
You're
family means everything.
With your family. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Give him a hand. Does this happen every year or what? Walk in my shoes for a while. I get phone calls every week, stuff on Facebook. My spouse just met somebody on the internet. They're gone. They left. You know, I never get over being shocked. People are playing with pornography. You're going on crazy. And you think you're going to get somebody better. I've said it before. You get someone who has 20% of what your spouse doesn't have when your spouse has 80% of what you want. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's happening. Guys, get off the internet. Get off Craig. Get off that stuff because you're going to ruin your future. Debbie and I were talking one day. I said, where would Josh and Tara be at if I had left you? Because I wanted to leave really bad when I was younger. She said they wouldn't be in church. They'd be bitter. They'd be out there somewhere. I'm telling you, my family's the most important thing in my life. Outside of God, yes. My son's my best friend today. My daughter's my best friend. My grandkids are my best friends. All my grandkids are preaching. They're teaching. They're off in ministry today, scattered everywhere. But praise God, I had to start this thing and I had to stick in with my marriage. A lot of temptation out there. A lot of temptation. On the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection, Jesus poured out his spirit on 120 people and said, you're now my family. Yes. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. I read a story this week about two paddle boats. They're really steamboats. They were traveling from Memphis down to New Orleans on the Mississippi. And they were alongside of one another, and these two paddle boats, steamboats, The sailors on each boat begin to heckle the other guys on the other boat and said, "We're faster than you, we're better than you." They heckled each other, they kept challenging one another, and pretty soon the race was on. And the one steamboat, it just brought enough fuel to make its journey complete. It didn't have enough fuel to race, and they started running out of fuel, and some very wise sailor went back, at least he thought he was wise, and took some of the cargo and threw it into the oven, and it burned as well as the coal, even a little better. And he took some more cargo, threw it in, some more cargo. He got caught up in everything, throwing the cargo in, and they actually won the race. But when they hit the finish line, they had burned up all their cargo. Didn't have anything to show for it. There are many men and women that are running the race so hard, so unfocused, if they're going to end up at the end of the line with the guy with the most toys wins. You might have a lot of toys and a lot of stuff, but you've lost the most precious cargo you were carrying. Men, listen to me especially. Those kids are your responsibility. That is a big responsibility. Huge responsibility. Billy Sunday, the infamous Billy Sunday, he led thousands and thousands of people to the Lord, but on his deathbed, he said, "I am a failure." And they said, "Why?" He said, "Although I've won thousands of the Lord, I lost my kids. I didn't win them." Take a look at this verse. "Behold, children are a gift to the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." If I had to do over again, I'd probably have 6 or 7 kids. Because I look today and my daughter is in Thousand Oaks. They're preaching. My son is serving the Lord. My grandkids are serving the Lord. I would have loved to have had a whole bunch of those. It says they're like arrows. You sharpen them up. You teach them how to pray. You teach them how to hear God's voice. Then you shoot them into the community. You shoot them out there. I'm telling you. Look at this other verse. Do we have another verse? That's the only verse I had on that. I'm getting tired. This is third service. Shane, let's go to our third contestant.
Our next contestant joins us all the way from the heart of the bayou in New Orleans, Louisiana. He wrestles alligators in his spare time and holds the record for the scariest mustache across 5 county lines. Jedediah James, come on down.
Jedediah,
and
give me my hand. Come on down,
deal.
Jedediah. This guy wrestles alligators, if that's what I heard was right. This is crazy. Come on up, Jedediah.
You finally made it on a show.
Call
my name. It's about time. I done made it on the stage. I'm here.
Oh, Jedediah, man, this is a big man here. And you're wearing a clock around your neck here. And I think they told me backstage what this was concerning. They said Jedediah takes his time and cuts it up in sections. And he goes to Starbucks Bible study. He spends a day with his kids every week. He has date night with his wife every week. He serves in the church. He takes his time very wisely. Is that true, Jedediah?
That is true.
Yeah, you're a wise man, they say. But you know what, Jedediah? I'm going to offer you something about all this time control you have, given here, here, here. Take a look, Jedediah. We're going to offer you something really big. So, Shane, take it away.
Well, Jedediah James, if you choose to make a deal, then you'll never have to worry about money ever again because you've just won a truckload of money. That new set of golf clubs you've wanted, done. That brand new sports car you've been drooling over, it's yours. All you have to do is work 70 to 80 hours a week for the rest of your life, and all your dreams will come true.
Wow, Jedediah. Now, did you hear Shane? But you have to work 70, 80 hours a week for all this cash. That means no more time for, you know, the kids' day that you have, no more time for serving at church, no more time for any of that, because you're going to be working, 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 but you're going to have that sports car, you're going to have almost anything you want. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars, Jedediah.
But he said, money, 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 money. I mean, now, it's money.
It's Jedediah. That's what this show's all about. This show's about, will you trade what you have brought for what we're offering you? So Jedediah will be rich. But you know what? Kids won't have time. Won't happen. Won't happen. Okay, Jedediah, you got to make your decision. Will you give me your time and we'll give you that 80 hour a week job and all that money? So let's hear it, folks. Help him out a little bit. Jedediah, this is going to be cool. What are you going to do? You better encourage him. Okay, what's it going to be, Jedediah? Final answer.
My final answer is... we're going with the cash.
They're going with the cash. Jedediah, give me that clock. Give me that clock, buddy. It's now mine. The time is mine. Jedediah, they'll take you off the stage, and I'll tell you, you're not going to need all that cash where you're going. You know how hard it is to find workers in the church? Nobody has time for the church. They're all busy. Time. Nobody has time. Today, I'll tell you what. People are lovers of pleasure sometimes more than God. Take a look at this verse right here. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be here. I talked about this in my sermon 2 weeks ago. See, we're not very often anywhere. We're on our phone. But see, we have to take our time and split it up. And give some time to our kids, some time to our wife, some time for ministry, sometimes just being alone and saying, Lord, here I am, I'm available. Look at this other verse. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And another verse, making the most of your time because the days are evil. You know, I told the church 2 or 3 weeks ago, a decade or two ago, I laid out here like a bum. I had this great idea. I'm kind of theatrical in my approach to ministry. And I laid out here, nobody knew who I was. And people came by and gave me waters. They gave me hot dogs. They gave me money. And I never expected this. I was blindsided by a spiritual experience. And I'm telling you, gang, this was real. This was definitely from God. All of a sudden, as I lay there, I became a homeless person. I was a homeless person as well as you could be one. And my heart began to ache, and I began to even get teary-eyed. And something in me cried out, I don't want just your money. I don't want just your drinks. I don't want just your hot dogs. I want somebody to sit down and ask me about my story. I want someone to care about me. Ask me how I got here. Because in that moment, I could tell people were just throwing stuff at me. But I want them to care about me. I unfortunately do a lot of funerals in my calling. And every once in a while, all the time, I'll get a funeral of a man or woman who's died. And kids will come up. And they'll say, my dad or mom didn't have a lot. But you know what? They were there for me all the time. When I needed them, they were there. When I wanted to play ball, they were there. They never missed my sporting events. There wasn't a better mom or dad in the world. Told you, I was driving out the freeway the day and I saw an older man and woman had a flat tire. Debbie and I stopped and they began to cry. They said, I've been standing here an hour. No one stopped to help us. I said, I'm not good at anything, but I can take your tire in and get some air in it. We're all so busy. You go into a restaurant, look, everybody's on their cell phone. We're never there. We're never there. I was in the gym. This is a small thing, but I was in the gym yesterday and I was going downstairs in LA and somebody's coming upstairs and he said, did you have a good workout? I said, yeah, well, good for you. You have a great Easter, okay? And I thought, that's so uncommon. A stranger that had the time. I'll tell you guys, don't trade away your time. Don't get so busy chasing after money. Don't get so busy that you forget about your spouse. You forget about your kids. You forget about your quiet time. Shane, we have the last, and this is the biggest deal of the day. Tell me who our contestant is.
Our fourth and final contestant will be participating in our super spiritual deal round. This young lady has a heart for the elderly and spends her spare time taking care of orphan pets. All the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Laura Kropp, come on down and
hey, Laura,
let's make a big
down.
Deal.
That's you. Wow, we got some excited contestants. Laura, oh, I tell you, these contestants are something else today. They are good. Oh, yes, give her a hand. Give her a hand. She's excited. Laura, you are in for the big deal now. You know, you look at the game show on TV, the old game show, and what they would do is they'd make you choose a curtain before they showed you what was behind it. But on our show, we show you what's behind the curtain before we make you make a deal. And Laura, right now, we're going to show you what's behind curtain one. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're ready. Let's show her what's behind curtain number one.
Well, Laura, say hello to temporary pleasure. That's right. If you like staying out all night, living life to the fullest, live free or die trying, then this is the curtain for you. You don't have to worry about the afterlife, because, right, you're living life in the moment now. Carpe diem, my friend.
Laura. You can have all the drugs you want. You can get all the liquor. You can party hardy down, probably for 30 years. Not much more than that, because guys, the gals don't want to look at you after 40. You're not worth anything to them anymore. And girls, you got kids to take care of. You can't go out and hardy party like you used to. And, you know, guys, your chest is dropping to your drawers. You're getting old, and it just isn't going to happen. But you know what? You can live without any rules, man. I mean, you can just party. Look, they want you in there. They're calling you. Ladies, let's show her what's behind curtain number two if she should decide.
Laura, let me introduce you to your new future, eternal life. Laura, if peace and joy are the things you're looking for, then look no further, my friend. You can have the abundant life here and now with eternal life to go along with it. Say goodbye to the temporary, my friend, and say hello to your new fabulous future.
Laura, listen to me. This is not only life forever and ever and ever, but it's the abundant life in the here and now. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you can have this for 30, 40 years, or you can have this and live forever and ever and ever and ever and have the best life in the here and now. Oh, man, this is a big decision, Laura. Is there any decision at all? Come on, encourage her, guys. Which one is she going to take? Number one or number two? Which one? They're all saying two. No one, two. They're all saying two, Laura. Okay, Laura, this is the final time. Will you take curtain number one and number two? Because you can't have both of these. You can only have one. Which will it be?
Curtain two.
Curtain two. She's taking curtain two. Give her a hand bigger than that. She chose the right curtain. There are a lot of people who have to make this decision today. The Bible's honest. That's why I like the book. Says that sin is pleasurable for a season. But you know, as we saw the young lady today that the guy was tempted to trade for and didn't, that young lady's going to get varicose veins. She's going to get old. She's going to get wrinkled. The Bible says everything in this world is passing away. Let's don't make a fool out of ourselves. Let's enjoy the spouses of our youth. Let's stay together. And you know what? I'm telling you, and I'm going to come back in a second, but Christianity is not getting the advertisement it should. You know why? Because most Christians aren't living the life, and we're not getting a good model. I'm going to come back and talk to you more, but first I want you to welcome my friend, Joseph Solomon.
Mount the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt, drive the dark of doubt away. I remember doubting the resurrection, like many since the first week of First Easter. Some not so sure, not so confident that he rose. I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile, she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true because, after all, mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked in the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt, what it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in this darkness for so long. It seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, God. And my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, Every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity, holding them hostage. God, can you help me? I remember my grandmother laying in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. Y'all, I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same two eyes when she told me, "Baby, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I know who I belong to," and I was so happy for her. Something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary crying because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me and a backpack full of fear, nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, y'all. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps. They show you the winding road that leads to my pain. God, I'm tired. God, I am tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no hope for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know I'm not just making friends with these walls when I pray. God, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. God, don't leave me here. For so long, I've been asking you to not leave me here. I just melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. My child, when it seems you have all the right questions and never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you that faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes, turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you covered your ears. My child, don't be childish, but consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. And you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know I rose, and you're scared. You're scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh at you. They will. Laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms, but my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels you are drowning in a sea of your own questions, just know I'm there. When it feels you are drowning in a sea of your own questions and apathy, unresponsive, I am there. I'm there like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holds will hold you. When I told you I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hand? See, we are married, for better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer. You are mine. 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 Do you believe you are mine and I am yours? I promise.
Decision is yours. I'll never forget the day that I pushed my wife down and she looked at me and said, I never want to see you again. I had to make a decision. I tried this scene. I got drunk, made a fool out of myself, party hardy down, hurt my wife. And one day I decided to take this curtain right here. It's a day I'll never regret. I mean, do you understand the life that I'm sharing with you? Do you understand? I get up every day and I don't know what's going to happen. It's thoroughly exciting. Am I going to walk with angels today? Am I going to fight with demons today? What miracles is God going to do in my life? It's the most fascinating lifestyle I've ever had. Why would anybody in their right mind choose curtain number one? Again, I've said it almost every year, but if I took a tape measure and put it out here to New York, this life in the here and now is about a 16th of an inch. But people are doing it all the time. Some of you are at a dead-end street like I was. You need to make a decision. Because you know what? There isn't going to be a tomorrow for some of you. You're going to lose some very precious stuff. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your health. I'm telling you right now, if I had not chosen curtain number two, I would be a derelict, I'd be a drunkard, and I'd probably be dead. God has done that for me. Given me back my marriage, given me back everything and more. I don't have to say a lot. Either the Holy Spirit's working with you or he's not. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do one of the bravest things you've done in a long time. I'm going to ask you to have the strength to be weak. You know, it's so cool to see a strong man humble himself, a strong woman humble herself. So here's what I'm going to pray right here. Father God, there's a lot of people in here today that need to change the way they're living. They need to repent today. Turn around and start living for God, starting today. Lord, these men and women know who they are, and they're a fool if they don't do this today. If they don't do it today, when are they going to do it? Today is the day. Today is the opportunity. Right now, I'm going to ask you to do something really. Some of you, Holy Spirit, sweep over this room. Go out into the internet audience. Go to Cal State. Go to Ventura. Go to Vegas. Go to all of our different campuses. And right now, convict people. And if you're here today, and you're strong enough to be weak, and you go, man, I know I'm not cutting it. And when you stand up, you're going to say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm making a fool out of myself. I'm trusting you. I want you to do more and raise a hand. If you know you need God today, humble yourself. Stand to your feet right now. Say, I don't care who knows. I need God. I need a change in my life. Stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. Thank, praise God. Look at them. Popping up, popping up, popping up. Stand up, stand up. Join these people. Stand up and stay standing. Go all the way. Keep standing. Wow, 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 wow. Some of your heart's beating fast. Get up, get up, get up, get up. This is the day. This is the day. You'll never regret this day and you'll remember this day forever. Now I want every one of you standing. Pastor Hector, wave your arms. He's going to take you back and seal the deal. A few minutes, you go with him right now and seal the deal. Tell your family, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'm going somewhere. Take him back, Hector. You're sealing the deal. And for those of you watching on the internet, I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. Wow, wow, wow. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't let this pass you by. Come on. Some of you need to get up and go. Wow, wow, wow. This service is going to beat the other two. Wow, wow, wow. Keep on coming. Don't stop. Don't stop. They don't have enough chairs out there, I'm telling you now. For all of you watching on the internet, I want everybody in the house to pray with me for those on the internet and say, Lord God, send the Holy Spirit. Come into my body and live. Give me the power I need to start today living for Jesus. Thank you for receiving me. I'm now one of your kids. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Do you know the angels in heaven are dancing a jig right now? I mean, I thought the altar call in the first two services was a lot. This is big. But you know what? This is one of my favorite videos. Take a look at this, because this is the way it should be. Then I'll be right back out and we'll put an ending to this service.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
It's all about him. You know what? I want you to think of just three or four words you would say to the Lord today if he stood face to face with you. And when I count to three, I want you to shout those words out of the top of your lungs. Say something creative. What would you say to him? I love you. Thank you. You'll never know what you did for me. Think of a phrase. When I count to three, I want to shout it out the top of your lungs. One, two, three. You can do better than that. One, two, three. You know, we need to end in celebration, don't you think? So we're going to end with this song here. A few beach balls are going to be flying, so beware. And then we'll dismiss you and see you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.